Talk radio just got a little cooler. Chad Benson. Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It's about peace, love, and understanding, right? Can we give everybody a chance? That's all I want in life is a chance. One chance. That's what Trump should be saying. One chance. I think we need to give him a chance, everybody. All right? Look, Trump was interesting. I knew that all along when he got into this race. He was an interesting character. I thought he was going to be interesting. He was interesting. Coming out today that he never thought he'd make it past October of last year. And then he was going to throw his weight behind Chris Christie, only to find the other way around. By the way, that's considerable weight. It's about giving somebody a chance. And look, there's a lot of people out there that have a very similar complaint that, hey, you want us to give him a chance when nobody wanted to give Obama a chance. You wanted us to give this guy a chance. And at the same time, 8 years ago, Obama, he was lambasted to the right-leaning media. I can't argue that. It was absolutely true. I mean this. I'm going to give him credit, and I'm going to give him criticism. Same thing I've done for President Obama. At times, I have given him credit for things I think he has done well in the leadership that he's provided. And at other times, I think he's been lacking in that. He's been too idealistic. And it's shown. And I give him criticism. I will do the same thing for Donald Trump. When credit is due, he will get credit. And when criticisms are absolutely needed, he will get that from me. Zero problem with that. I've never had a problem with that. I have a problem with the whininess of America. I used to think we were tougher than this. I really did. I used to think we were tougher. I used to think somewhere along the line we weren't as insane as apparently we're making ourselves out to be. I don't get it. I don't. I don't think, you know, it's funny watching all of these people do the things that they're doing. I don't think they get it. I don't. It is the everybody gets a trophy mentality, the whining, the moaning, the screaming, the yelling, the throwing a fit loud enough till eventually somebody gives in. You know, it's what we did with our parents, right? We got everything we wanted. So we're going to get everything we want now if we just we'll treat the government like our parents. That's not the way it works. You've run into a different kind of parent. You've run into a parent that has a little tough love in him, a parent that's willing to go, Johnny, you need to sit down and shut up and do your homework. Right? Not that you're the greatest thing in the world. Not that everything goes on the refrigerator. That's a great drawing. We're going to put it on the refrigerator. No, that's not the way we're working. It's not. Donald J. Trump is going to be the next president of the United States in, you know, what, 6 weeks? It's happening. Get over it. Get over yourselves. I was talking to a millennial this weekend, and I said, you know what? Rather than bitch, rather than whine, rather than moan, do something about it. Do something about it. Midterms are coming up. These midterm elections are huge. Get out there. Get people interested your age. You only show up when it's the Olympics or the World Cup. You never show up when it's anything other than that. You only show up for the big things. Midterms are massive. They're huge. They can really dictate where a president's going to go for the last 2 years of that term and potentially, if he or she wins, the next 4 years of the next one. Midterms are huge. Get out there. Move the needle. Get people excited. Put people in place that you think are going to help the causes that you care much about. Understand, there's always a winner and a loser, right? There's always going to be a winner and a loser. And I don't think people understand that. I don't think people understand. The difference with this is there was an expected winner and there was an expected loser. As much as people were shocked on the left that he won, there were as many people on the right that were shocked that he won. The difference is it was a good kind of shock for them. It was like, whoa, I didn't expect that to happen. How about that? How about them apples? Left side of the aisle, they expected victory. And they didn't get it. Now what are they going to do? They've got X number of years to ramp themselves up and to pick a path that they think is going to be victorious for them. Going forward, 2 years from now, 4 years from now, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're never going to make everybody happy. You got to focus on the things that you need to focus on. Getting out on the streets and flipping them off, getting out on the streets and throwing a fit, getting out on the streets and doing what you're doing, and for all intents and purposes, whining to the point where it's almost sad and comical. Get over yourselves. You're not that important. And let's be real. 50% of you out there who are out there, you're not happy with Hillary, so you didn't want her either. You just didn't want Trump. Your guy was Bernie. And it's funny how you bitch about this election process and the way that you think Trump got here. I don't hear you bitching about what they did to Bernie and the DNC. I don't hear you saying, these people, look what they did. No, you don't, because you don't care. You don't. It's a way for you to get out there and to scream and yell, to throw a fit, to bitch, whine, and moan, and to do all of these things. Everybody's got a different belief system and ideology. That's just it. We try to find people we jive with. This person over here, hey, 70% of what they believe, I believe. The other 30% will make it work. This person over here, it's almost 100%. The problem is, when we talk diversity, when we talk all of these things in life, it's about skin color. It's about sexuality. It's about freedom of religion or freedom of free of religion. It's about all of these things. It's never about the thing that matters the most, I think, in diversity, which is the difference in thought, the difference in opinion. That's where it's never free. Enough of this crap. Please, enough of this crap. If you want to be serious, if you want to get out there and do something, don't campaign against something you're not going to win against, which is him being president. Start to work forward and think to yourself, how am I going to change the future for the better if this is where the future needs to go? How are you going to do that? But before all is said and done, how about we give him a chance? How about we go, hey, you know what? He won. Is what it is. Maybe you're not happy with it. We can give him a chance. We can say, yeah, all right, Donald, show us what you got. You promised a lot, as do most politicians. Now you've got everything you think you need. Now what are you going to do? You said you're going to deliver jobs. You said you're going to build this. You said you're going to do all of these things. I want to see what you are going to do. A lot of people are freaking out. A lot of people are scared. A lot of people are trembling. A lot of people, they don't even know why they're pissed and angry. They just know the person that they wanted didn't get in. So they're going to throw a fit. That's huge. And I understand that. We can all lose and we all take a day and we pick ourselves up, we brush ourselves off, and then we move forward. The difference is it's not happening. People don't want to get past Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. They want to stay right there and relive the moment over and over again. Keep going out there and being anti-Donald rather than pro somebody else, and guess what you're going to find? You're going to be in the same place 4 years from now, regardless if Donald's successful or not. You got to give him a chance. That's it. That's all I'm asking. Give him a chance. I don't know if he's going to be good. Could be great. Could be the greatest president we've ever seen. Could be horrible. Could be a nightmare. Could be an absolute unmitigated disaster. I couldn't tell you. What I do know is whether I think either or, it's still coming. You ever been on a roller coaster and it takes off and you're thinking to yourself, I don't want to be on this thing anymore? Well, guess what? It's going. Whether you like it or not, it's going. You're going to do the loops. You're going to do the big giant hill and you're going to come straight down. It's happening. So you can either go with it and start to plan some other things, or you can bitch, whine, and moan. But that's not going to get you anywhere. Dave Chappelle and Saturday Night Live, it was so amazing to watch this. It's like they apologized for America. Don't apologize for half the country. Essentially, when you do that, the hubris and the narcissism that you have to apologize like to the rest of the world, to everybody else, as if the other 60-some million people out there are idiots. Like, oh, we let you vote, but you were too stupid and you did the wrong thing. No, wrong. Wrong. The apology, the whining, the moaning. America doesn't need anybody to apologize for any of the things it's done. It needs to just be America. But Chappelle was on there, and he did a good 15 minutes or so, but he ended it like this, and I think this is the perfect way that he could have ended it.
I'm wishing Donald Trump luck, and I'm going to give him a chance, and we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he give us one too.
That's it. And you know what? I am absolutely in 100% behind him. Give him a chance. Let me tell you something. If he does things that I don't like, I will be loud. If he does things that I think are wrong, I will be loud. If he does things that look like they're impinging on people's rights, I will be loud and I will be upfront about it. But before I decide that it's doom and gloom, I'm going to let it play out in front of all of us. Because I think that's the important thing to do. We're trying to see the future of which we know nothing about it. And we all know what assumption is and to assume something. Make an ass out of you and me. So let's not assume anything and let's just take it as it comes. And if he does something good, give him the credit. And if he does something bad, be loud about it. But to call him a failure before he's ever begin, to call for the ouster of him before he's ever begin, that is stupid, that is juvenile, and that is, quite frankly, un-American. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chadatchadbensonshow.com. You can also text the show, love when you do, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We are in our new studios, which we're pretty excited about. We're over here. We got new massive studios. I got Anthony's in the room with me, producer Anthony. Phil, there's a place for you here at the table.
Oh, yeah.
There is a place for you right here at the table. We're just waiting for you to be the third in this dance party. That's it.
No, I can't dance.
I know you can't. That's why we're neither of us can. Well, I can. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm pretty groovy. I think we all know that. Trump has already made two picks, both of them interesting, one controversial. We'll talk about that one. Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Always remember, text the show, 323-538-2423. Call us as well, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Texters wrote in, we didn't give Obama a chance. I know. I said that. I get it. We didn't give Obama a chance. By we, I mean a lot of people. I did. I would have given Hillary a chance. Whoever, as I said, the day it was happening and weeks before and the year before, whoever's the president, I'm going to be hoping and praying that they're successful. There are a lot of people out there, especially in my industry, that quite frankly, they do not hope that the left is successful in anything. And there's a lot of people out there in left-leaning media that does not want Donald Trump to be successful either. Get over yourselves. It's our country. There are people out there who, honestly, if you told them, look, Democrats can be the president for the next 20 years, they're going to win every election from here on, and it's going to be fantastic. Your life is going to be incredible. It's going to be 100 times better than what it is now. They would say no. And there are people out there, if you said the same thing, the Republicans are going to be president for the next 20 years, and they're going to win time and time again. They're going to control everything, and your life is going to be 1,000 times better than this. No, I wouldn't want that, because I have a D by my name, or I have an R by my name. Shut up. So one thing he's already done is he's got our buddy Rance Priskin, a.k.a. Reince Priebus, who will be his chief of staff. But it is Steve Bannon, who used to be the man who ran Breitbart, and he has since been the CEO of Trump's campaign, a person that is in his ear, who has controlled everything across the board, who everybody is kind of looking at thinking, okay, what's this deal? He's part of the alt-right. He has been, you know, Breitbart has been inflammatory at times towards minorities, towards the anti-Semites, they've been called. I mean, there's a lot of things about them misogynistic that makes a lot of people go, okay, this is what we're talking about right here. And I found it. Look, first understand this. Trump is a loyal person. He is loyal. Loyal to a T, loyal to a fault, possibly. Bannon helped him get where he is today, and he is now going to be a senior counselor, but many people feel he is going to be as much a power broker inside of the administration as several of the other people that are tipped for top jobs, because he's going to have his fingers in everything. And that's what a lot of people are worried about, that this is going to be the whisperer. And you know, and if you've gone back and you look at times and you go look at old pictures of presidents, you know, long since gone, there's always one or two people that are always behind and you have no idea who they are. They're not truly anything other than some sort of counsel towards the president. But they are the deal makers. They're the people that can do things that the president needs done, and essentially he can wipe his hands clean of anything. They're also the people that have the ear of the president more so than anybody else. They'll have kind of the final say. Well, you think, should we do this? And everybody's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they'll look over at him and he'll just go, no. And that's the kind of person that is extremely important to a president. But the worry is, okay, here's a guy who ran a website, Breitbart, which is at times inflammatory, is at times extremely, how should we say this? Not kind to the left or any of the snowflake generation, some of which they deserve, not all of it. But he has been seen as somebody who is a misogynistic anti-Semite. And it raises a lot of questions because this is the worry that people have. But understand, you didn't win the election, so you don't get to pick his cabinet. You didn't get to the point where Hillary was your victor-in-chief. And so you don't get a say. I understand the optics of it all. I get that. But you don't get a say. You don't have a say in this. What's going to happen from here on out, I don't know. I know today he asked the Secret Service to give full background checks and clearance to all of his kids, including Jared Kushner, who is his son-in-law, who many people say was as influential as anybody else inside of the campaign. But he's Ivanka's husband, never likes to be seen, doesn't like to be photographed, stays way in the back, really camera shy. But this guy has massive influence, and he's only 35 years old. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting moving forward. Speaking of interesting, we are a fat nation. Hell, we're a fat planet. How fat are we? Well, it is National Diabetes Day. We will talk about the girth of the earth. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Text us 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
America, we have breaking news.
The Chad Benson Show. When news breaks out, we break in.
Here's the breaking news. Kendall Jenner has deleted her Instagram account.
No!
Yeah, I know, right? 68 million followers she has. 68 million followers. Without explanation, she has said she needed a social media detox, but it just kind of happened really fast. But what they're saying is because of what happened to Kim, and a lot of people are saying that this was a wake up call for the family. When you put your business out there and you walk around with $20 million in jewelry, you may either A, figure out how to keister it, or B, get ready for somebody to come take it. And if you don't, you've built your life on this, right? I mean, let's be real. Can you name something Kendall Jenner has done other than being Bruce / Caitlyn's father? I don't even know. Mather? No, you can't. You can't be the, you know, that's what I don't know. So, but that's sad. It's sad because it's nice. Who's the one we like, Phil? What's her name?
Kylie?
No. The one from Modern Family.
Oh,
Ariel Winter? Oh, yeah. She better not delete hers because that'll just be shameful to all. Just letting you guys know that. Today is National Diabetes Day. It's you would think diabetes would have more than a day, right? And I'll tell you why you would think that. First, it is an epidemic. And we always say America's a fatty place, right? We're just full of fat people. And, you know, it's Fatlandia. This is what we think America is. Did you understand that 1 in 10 people by 2040 on Earth, will have diabetes? 1 in 10. Not just 1 in 10 Americans. 1 in 10 will have it. It's an epidemic. America loses almost $300 billion a year to lost wages, to medical expense. And it's weird because this is one of those situations, right? When you look at diabetes, diabetes is at times a rich, poor thing. And I know that sounds really weird. How could it be a rich, poor thing? Well, because the makeup of diabetes in many ways isn't so much genetic. There is genes there. But as one doctor said, November is American Diabetes Month, says our good friend and yours, Anthony, producer Anthony, is in the building with me in our new studios. But one of the things that's weird about it is, as I understand why they say it's a rich, poor thing. I get that to a certain extent. All right. I'm going to call some people out here. So bear with me because this is important, because a lot of you listening out there, pre-diabetic, maybe you're having some issues. Maybe you've been diabetic. You lost some weight. You got away from it. Some of you may have, type 1 diabetes. You have to take insulin, and that's much more genetic than a lot of other things. But it's not just genetics. As one doctor said, the genetics are the bullets, but the social life that you lead is really the gun that fires those bullets. Meaning, yes, genes do play some part. You may be predisposed to having diabetes, but how you live your life will play a much bigger role in whether or not you get it. And the poor, when we talk about poor people, and we talk about, you know, poor people here compared to poor people in other countries. You know, our poor people have what? We have an obesity problem. Why do we have an obesity problem? Because to eat healthy, and I think we all know this, to eat healthy in this country is expensive. It's cheap to buy cheap, meaning it's much cheaper to spend $10 buying a pizza than it is spending $15 or $20 to feed a family of four. When you want to go to a Trader Joe's or a Whole Foods or some of these other places, it is expensive. Junk food's cheaper, snack foods are cheaper, and you can get them in mass quantities comparatively to going out and buying stuff that's good for you. And that's true. That's true. So in some ways, yes, they're right. It is a rich people versus poor people problem, because poor people do tend to have the access to go get the stuff that tastes a lot better, that you can expand, that doesn't taste a lot better, not to me, because I have the palate of a 7-year-old. But we know this, all right? We know this. I mean, today we're joking. In honor of National Diabetes Day, we didn't get our usual one dozen. We got 3 dozen donies. And they were delicious.
Donut.
But it is cheaper to buy cheap junk food. It is cheaper. You know, if you got 10, 15 bucks in your pocket, that's why I would say you should never starve in this country. But you dying of being overweight and poor, that's a shame too, right there. That's sad. But we have a willpower problem in this country. We want everything easy in this country. Are you picking that up? So yes, in some ways, absolutely. There is a rich and poor component to this, because it is expensive to eat healthy. When you realize we lose almost $300 billion a year, and this is just in medical, think about the lost wages. Think about the fact that people don't operate as well when they're a bit larger. Think about all of those things, and think about the disservice you do to yourself. Look, I need to lose 20 or 30 pounds, but I'm in decent shape. I run. I can go run a mile right now. I'm not going to drop dead. I'm not going to drop dead. I work out. I swim. I do stuff. And I need to lose some weight. But I also have some willpower. And I lack a lot of that in this country. It is, you know, I mean, we see a lot of people out there whose largeness is in chargeness. We see too many people out there who just don't care. And who cleans that up? We, the taxpayers. We, the taxpayers, have to clean a lot of that up. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. If you are so fat that you are handicapped, if you are so big because you've eaten yourself to a situation where the bones in your body can no longer handle the largeness that is you, and you have to have one of those little scooters, that's a problem. They should make you park further away, not closer. There should be a handicap spot and a fatty cap spot. Chad, you're being a jerk to people who are of large size. Yes, nutritionally overachieving, people of size, whatever you want to call yourself, that makes you feel better. But this is a wake-up call. And it's not just us. It's everywhere else around the world's having issues too. Why? Because it's cheap there too. It's cheap. It's cheap and it's easy too. It's easy. We are busier than we've ever been. We are more engaged in life than we've ever been engaged. And we throw ourselves into cheap and easy. We want an easy fix. That's everything. You want to lose weight tonight. You want to lose as much weight as you possibly can tonight because you want to, somebody's coming in 2 weeks. I got to lose at least 15 pounds. Whatever it is, we want, what's the magic pill? Where's the elixir that's going to make me thin? That's what we want. If you could design in life, if you want to be successful, ask any entrepreneur, find a need, fix the need. Find a need, fix the need. We've been looking for the magic pill all of our lives. Where is the magic pill to reverse aging? Where's the magic pill to make me beautiful? Where's the magic pill to make me thinner? Where's the magic pill to make me smarter? We want it now. And now more than ever, because everything we have in life is instantaneous. I don't remember. I think I can count on one hand the fat kids in school when I was a kid. If that. I can count on the fat kids in Jack's class on two hands. We have changed our life. We have become sedentary. We have become complacent. We have become instantaneous. We are lazy in all aspects of our life, from not working out to the way we consume food. We are. We are absolutely that way. And it's sad. But it's true, but it's costing us. And it's going to become an epidemic that is going to be so massive in this country that you will see, you're going to see, you think we're under pressure now. There's two things going forward that are going to put things under pressure more so than anything other than all the other diseases out there. Cancer, AIDS, all of these things. Hepatitis C, hepatitis A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, all of these things. It is going to be age-related diseases because we're getting older, and it's going to be obesity and diabetes. That will consume a good portion of what our medical world's going to be. That is scary, but it is so true. That is absolutely terrifying to think that, that much of what we're going to have in the future is going to go to help people who, yeah, age-related diseases, you're going to get old. But you can make it better for yourself by being in better shape. And the cost to us and the cost to you. Think about this. We already know this. You're better looking. You go further in life. That's just right is what it is. It's just absolutely right. Hate to be a jerk. Hate to break it to you. Hate to do. But if you're better looking, you go further in life. I'm not saying you have to have a six-pack abs because many of us are never going to get that. That's genetics. But just being a bit healthier. Saying today I'm going to have, I'm not going to drink a soda today. Today I'm going to take my lunch to work. Little things. You know what? I'm going to get a burger, but I'm not going to eat fries. Little things like that go a long way. And over time, you'll see it. You'll see it start to just add up. Boom. All of a sudden, wow, you know what? Man, I gave up soda and I've dropped 20 pounds. I feel good. I've done this. All these things start to add up. But we need to make a change because it's going to cost us tremendously. Stop being big. That's just it, kids. Chad, you're big. Again, it's the honesty. I know. That's crazy. Speaking of honesty and speaking of being fit, you want to be fit. We just talked about diabetes. We talked about all of these things that you need to do to get yourself in better shape. Let me tell you something. Blood flow is important. We all know healthy circulation is critical, especially as we get older. There's a natural way to support your healthy blood flow, and that's by getting enough dietary nitrates into your body, convert them to nitric oxide. Super Beets is the way I choose to do it. It is absolutely amazing. Boom. Just a scoop straight into water or maybe a smoothie. Some people put it in yogurt. Within 15 or 20 minutes, you feel the difference, the energy level and the stamina. It goes through the roof. And Phil, you have a story about Super Beets.
Absolutely. I know I've been cutting back on coffee, but today it was a little cold when I was on my way into work. And I'm like, well, I haven't had a lot of coffee, so I'll have, you know, a couple cups of coffee while I'm sitting at my desk, try to warm up a little bit. And really, those two cups, after that, I was jittery, I was shaking, I just felt all out of sorts. I don't get that with Super Beets. This is why I gave up coffee to begin with. You know, I put it in water, it's great, it tastes great, and I don't get that, and I don't get the crash afterwards.
And that's important. Tastes great. Don't get the crash. Don't get any of those nasty calories and all those things that you drink. I read last week that some of those energy drinks have radiation in them or something, some ridiculousness like that. I mean, some of that, stay away from that stuff, people. Super Beets is where you want to be. 30-day supply free with your first order. Nitric oxide indicator strips free to use before and after drinking Beets. Works in your body. You're going to see it. Book called Beat the Odds, absolutely free, and all of it comes to you with free shipping, and this is great, too. It's guaranteed to work or your money back. Go to chadbeets.com. That's chadbeets.com, or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. Simple and easy. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Go to chadbeets.com or call 800-561-2677 today. Tell them Chad sent you. Movies and football straight ahead. Chad.
Blah, 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 blah. He's Chad Benson.
I saw a movie this weekend. It's really cool. Doctor Strange. It was one of those movies where I can't decide if I really like it or if it was just pretty good. Enjoyed it. It was like X-Men meets, you know, the Avengers kind of meets, you know, The Matrix. It was an interesting movie. I don't know if I'd pay to see it again, but if they make another one, I'll probably go see that. So that's where you get with that one. It was number one again, though, this week at the box office. Football this weekend. Now, Phil, how happy are you?
I'm pretty darn happy.
Yeah, you're sort of happy. So yesterday, football, first let me start off by saying I'm very disappointed in the way that my Patriots played last night and jacking the pooch. Horrible last play, but let's hear it for Tom Brady. You know what? Terrific Tom, always being, you know, more handsome than everybody else in the room, said, look, that was not pass interference. It was not. It was just two guys playing, and it was a hell of a play, and it's not pass interference, and we move on with life. They played a great game. They beat us. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. Tennessee, man, they killed. Green Bay they are struggling. I think it's time for a coaching change. And I do believe part of that has to do also their struggles has to do with the fact that Aaron Rodgers has the worst mustache. It is just, it's like 1970s bad. Washington beat Minnesota. Dude, Kirk Cousins is real, Phil. He's real.
He is all kinds of real.
And it's, if you're RG3 right now, how you feeling?
How about them Browns?
How about, you're not even, it's just, what a horrible. Tampa Bay beat on Chicago. So they're just crap. Carolina lost to Kansas City up, 17-3? Gave it away. Philly beat Atlanta. The Rams beat the Jets 9-6. At some point in time, the Rams have to look at the number one overall pick, Goff, and say, all right, we got to put him in. We have to put him in at some point in time. I don't know when that's going to be. Did you see the Denver-New Orleans game, Phil?
No, I didn't watch that one.
So they tied it up. New Orleans tied it up. Then they went for an extra point, and the dude pulled the Cam Chancellor where he jumped over the center after he hiked the ball.
Oh, I did see that highlight.
He blocked it. They picked it up, and just like it's now just like college football. You can return it for 2 points. They won 25-23. They won 25-23. How about that? Miami beat San Diego. Arizona beat San Francisco. And then Dallas has a quarterback problem that every team in the NFL wish they have. They have a guy that is a third-round draft pick who was the third man on the totem pole. Through injury, he is number one, sort of the way that Russell Wilson came about kind of situation, and he was great yesterday. This is it. There's no controversy. They've won 8 in a row. They may be the best team in football. Their offensive line is great. Ezekiel Elliott, the other rookie, is probably going to win the MVP. He's going to rush for 1,800 yards. This is it. The other thing that happened yesterday in the NFL was Mike Evans of Tampa Bay did not stand for the anthem and instead took a knee, complaining, making his show of voice, if you will, about the election of Donald Trump. He didn't vote. Colin Kaepernick did not vote either. You lose your voice when you don't use your voice. You can't stand on a pedestal and tell everybody, do what I do, and then not go out and vote. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And by the way, the NFL ratings were out, and they were up. Apparently, a lot of people were thinking it was mostly election stuff that slowed a lot of things down. So we'll see. We'll see moving forward. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. Text the show, 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.